Brother Sam, do you have one of those CDs? Would you get me one, please? I know you gave my wife one, but she won't give it to me. Our collegiate singers, Trinity Baptist Bible College Collegiate Singers just have finished a CD, and it just came out today. We have a supply of them that just got here today. And the three you heard singing, I believe, sing on the CD, and then in large groups of young people and college students are on it. And I want to tell you about it. You'll enjoy it. It'll be a blessing. If you want a good CD, good gospel music, good music to listen to that'll encourage you, that'll help you, then stop by and pick up the CD. It'll be a blessing, I promise you. Besides that, we just got them in, and now we got to pay for them. And so we want to keep everything as it ought to be. All right. You'll have them at the end. May I borrow this one just a minute, dear? May I just a minute? I promise you, I'll give it back to you. Yeah. I ask, you hadn't given it to me as of yet. Had to get public about it to get it. Goodness. By the way, kids, that's my wife. We just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. And she's been treating me like that ever since. The name of the CD is There Is Grace. There Is Grace. And that's the title song on the CD. And My Sin Is Ever Before Me. Who Am I? Blood of Jesus medley. Walking Sinai, Hide Thou Me, Testimony medley, At the Right Time, Salvation medley, a lot of medleys in here. I Claim the Blood, My Life Is Yours to Control, Here Am I, Lord, Gone. Here Am I, Lord, Gone. Oh, those are two separate songs. Broken and Spilled Out, and Solid Rock medley. And you'll enjoy it. I've been listening to it, and I'm looking forward to the finished product. And they'll be available after the service. Also, we have some envelopes if you're interested in a set of CDs from the conference. There'll be 15 different CDs, and they're $4 each. Or you can get all 15 for $55, and that includes having them mailed to you. We have them professionally done, and then they'll be mailed to you for that price. Thank you so much. And Brother J. Reed, that was a great beginning. My, we're looking forward to the week. Someone said, who are the special speakers? And I said, well, I've got a young one and an old one. And I'll let you figure out who's who. Mike Johnson is a young man. He's just got old hair. Have you ever had anything go wrong when you're standing before people? I just had a blowout on my suspender. So if it's all right, I'm going to hold it like this because I'm afraid of the consequences. Judgment, my wife said, God's judgment. She comes up with a good one every now and then. Brother Mike Johnson preached for us last year at our youth conference and did such an outstanding job. And it is good to have young men that are preaching the Word of God and veterans that are building churches, that are pastoring, still having that burning desire to see God do something in the lives of young people. And you're going to be blessed and encouraged and helped this week if you'll listen on purpose. Brother Mike Johnson pastors the Shasta Baptist Church in Redding, California. Redding, California is in far North California. After you get out of Redding, California, you go into Oregon. And up there in the valley, he's started an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. And one of the outstanding churches in the state of California is the Shasta Baptist Church. Now listen to me, young people. I hear you tell me about your hurts and why you cannot serve God. That's a bunch of phony baloney. If any person could use that as a legitimate reason, our next speaker could use that as an excuse. But it's not an excuse. And God has blessed this man and is using this man. He's a father and a grandfather and about to be grandfather two more times. And you listen to Dr. Mike Johnson, pastor of Shasta Baptist Church in Redding, California. Brother Johnson, we welcome you back.
Thank you, Brother Smith. God bless you. Let's take our Bibles, turn to John chapter 21 tonight and stand with me, please. John chapter 21, turn there, stand together. Enjoyed that message, Brother Reed, very much. I was listening to you preach. You sound so much like your brother. And I thought, now there's a difference, and I was trying to figure out what the difference was, and then I saw it. Personality, that was the difference. Poor Brother Clay, you have to encourage him. You know, it was rough. He grew up as a boy. His parents dressed him up like a speed bump for Halloween, and so he had a rough time. But I appreciate that. I do not like the sarcasm from Brother Reed, though. I resent that. I find it very, very, I'm very indifferent to that. So we'll try to avoid the sarcasm in what I'm preaching so we don't get to that and have to deal with those issues that we have. Thank you for coming, young people. Now look up there. Look up there at me. When you sit down after you read the Bible, if you put your head in your hands like that, I'll walk right across the pews and jerk your lips off. I got on a flight early this morning to come here, and then they got ready to get on. They canceled it. And then I had to go to another terminal and get on another flight to get here and everything else. And so as my three-year-old granddaughter told my wife, my wife said, "Does Gramps scare you?" And she said, "Yes." Yesterday she said this. She said, "Why?" She said, "Because he's tall and he's grouchy." So that's my testimony. I'm tall and I'm grouchy. So don't put your head down. Don't look. If you talk while I'm preaching, that's going to be really, really bad. So listen real carefully. I love you. I appreciate you. See the theme here? So loved, young people. So loved. You may not think we love you because we get on you and get after you and all that kind of stuff. You'll grow out of that one of these days and realize the people who challenge you the most are the ones who love you the most. But I hope you see how much you are loved. Your church brought you here. They went through all the effort and labor to do this. This dear church went through all the things that were necessary to put this on for you. Everything you're going to see in these next few days says very clearly that you're loved very much. So I hope you see it. I hope you respond to it appropriately. That's why I can't stand disrespectfulness. I just can't stand that. Nothing irritates me more than when somebody treats something with disrespect. And I know that's not your attitude, and that's not going to happen tonight. So we'll lay that groundwork, and then we'll get right into the message this evening. John chapter 21 and verse 1. The Bible says this. I want you to read carefully, and you keep your Bibles open tonight if you would. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. That's seven of the 12 now. Simon Peter said unto them, "I go fishing." Look at me. He's not talking about going out and drowning worms for an afternoon's function. He's talking about, "I quit." Peter was a fisherman when the Lord found him. And when Peter says to these disciples, I go a-fishing, he said, I quit. Now understand the context of I quit. This is after Christ's resurrection. After that. After Jesus has appeared to them in an upper room with the doors closed twice. After they had seen Jesus in his resurrected body. Just, it seems like somewhere out of the clear blue sky, Peter goes to these six disciples and he says, I'm going back to the fishing business. I quit the Christian life. Verse 3, please. They say unto him, go drop dead, you knucklehead jerkweed. That's what they should have said. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Now some of these guys, sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, they were fishermen too. The other guys weren't even fishermen. They said, okay, we'll go to the fishing business too. Now Peter quits and takes six guys with him. Always the way, isn't it? Look at me. Always the way, isn't it? Some little wormy punk hasn't got the guts. God gave a worm to walk out on God on his own. He's got to get him a crew. Get him a little following. Get him a couple of people to check out with him. I go a-fishing. Okay, we quit too. They went forth, verse 3. They went forth and entered in a ship immediately, made a fortune. Hauled in the fish. Next thing you know, they're selling books on successful fishing and how you can achieve the same. The Bible says what, young people? Look at the verse. And that night they caught what? Yep, there it is. They got wet nets. Wet nets, that's it. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. How could they forget him already? Verse number 5. Then saith Jesus unto them, children, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, that's teenage for no. Send you to school and you forget how to speak the language. They said unto him, no. Now look at me tonight. Jesus is going to ask these guys three questions, and I want to ask those questions to you tonight. And I want you to take a few moments, and let's just start the conference tonight. First thing we learned tonight is that God is what? God is number one. We got that straightened out. Good. Number two, we're going to answer these questions tonight. Now, I want you to answer the questions for you. I don't want you to answer for the question of someone who's not here. They're not here. Doesn't make a difference. Now, but you are. And the three questions Jesus is going to ask them in John chapter 21, they needed to answer these questions because it got them back, at least got one of them, back on track in their life. Three questions. And the first one is, children, have you any meat? May I give you a question from that you and I need to ask tonight? Here's the question. How's it going? So how's it going? Heavenly Father, bless tonight and be with us this evening. Lord, thank you for these young people. Thank you for these youth pastors. And Lord, thank you for this dear church tonight that has given of themselves and their time and their labors and their efforts to put this on, not so young people can have something to do, but to be a help and a blessing and to let them know they are so loved. Spirit of God, help me tonight. Thank you for the challenge from Brother Reed. Thank you that reminds us that you're supposed to be number one and our life should prove it. Now help us to answer the questions, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Now then, young people, question number one is, how is it going? Ask the average young person, how is it going? They'll give you all kinds of answers, usually brief, usually wrong. But I want you to notice their answer. Children, have you any meat? They answered him what? They answered him what? No. Now let's get the question tonight. The question is, how's it going? The answer, number one, needs to be simple. Keep it simple. Doesn't need to be complex. Well, you have to understand, Pastor Johnson, see, I'm codependent. And when I was a baby, my mom put my diaper on too tight when I was little. And my dad never played catch with me in the backyard. My brother shaved my head, called me bald. He took a picture of me, showed it to my first girlfriend. And you have to understand something, Pastor. You see, you have to understand how it works, Pastor Johnson. See, it's not going real well for me. And here's why. And you come up with more stuff that would make a whole season for Oprah. Keep it simple. How's it going? They say unto him, no. You got any meat? No. What do you got? Wet nets. We got nothing. It's not going well. They say unto him, no. Keep it simple. Number two, keep it sincere. They didn't say, well, you know, the catch wasn't really all that bad in relation to how the people are doing on the other boats around us. And in light of the economy and how things are going, you know, actually, in reality, we got nothing. There's nothing. We got nothing. We got no. That's what we got. You know, people look at me and I, ha, how's it going? Does your life stink? I'm not talking about the person next to you. I said, does your life stink? Are you bored? Do you know why you're bored? Because you're boring. That's why you're bored. Would God I had time to get bored. I'd like to put it in my day timer. Get bored on Tuesday from 2 to 4. I'd love to get bored. I don't have time to get bored. How do you know why you're bored? Because you sleep 14 hours a day. That's why you're bored. And then you get up, eat Cheerios, pour sugar in there until it's that thick on the bottom so when you scoop it up, you got one Cheerio and a teaspoon of sugar because that's the only way you can eat them nasty, stinking things. You got to put enough sugar on them or else they're not even edible. After all, try Cheerios without sugar. It's like eating a box. You sleep 14 hours, get up, eat a bowl of Cheerios and wonder where's lunch. It ain't lunchtime. You know what? It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That's why you missed it. And then the exciting moment comes because you're going to go to the mall and do one of these numbers. You know the satanic symbol? I don't get this one. I walk by a kid at the mall and they stand up, pants down with his drawers hanging out. You know what I mean? Got a hat cocked sideways. Pants so big the guy took 4 steps before they even started moving. Standing there. I go, hey kid, you want, hey, we're grabbing youth activity. You want to go to church? No, man, church is boring. I said, what are you doing? Nothing. Hanging with my bud, man. Nothing. I said, well, the bathroom's first door down the hallway on the left. Try that one. You know, the truth of the matter is, we really get this idea that my life isn't any good, and the reason it isn't is because I don't have enough activities. I do not have a personal entertainment committee to take care of me, to provide for me all the stuff I'm supposed to have. How's it going? Come on, young people, listen. How is it going? Keep it simple. Be sincere. Brother Reed touched it tonight. Revival cannot come until we're sincere. We're honest with ourselves and our lives and where we are and what we are. Listen to me. And what we are not. So how's it going? Come on now, young people, listen to me. Are you sincerely, genuinely, honestly saved and certain? Or would you have to say tonight, quite honestly, it's something that has always bothered me. I'm still troubled by that. You know, it's interesting. I cannot find any verse in the Bible where God leaves us with uncertainty about the matter of our salvation. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, he wants a good night. The whole book of 1 John is about the security of the believer and how to know that you know that you know that you're saved. And it's not like you did something bad. It's not that you did anything wrong because you got troubles. It's probably because, as old Carl Hatch used to say, you took a head instead of a heart somewhere along the way. You said a prayer you didn't understand. You did something you didn't believe in anyway. And you just said something for somebody else's purposes. You got caught up in one of those things where a whole bunch of your friends got saved. And you thought, well, I ain't going to be left behind. And you went down there. Listen to me, young person. If it bothers you, there's a reason. How's it going? Keep it simple. Keep it sincere. So it's not a problem with me, Pastor Johnson. I'm saved. I know it. Good. Wonderful. Excellent. Can I ask you a question? How is it going with your Christian life? So how is it going? You ever look at people's faces when you're driving to church with your parents or on the bus? You ever look at people's faces going the other way? I always think, man, they're going the wrong way. Church is starting. I'm going that way. They're going the wrong way. Secondly, I always look at their face. Come on, look at, guy's got him a $35 million boat behind a truck he can't even pay the gas for anymore. Going to the lake with his family so he can, they can all run around wearing colored Band-Aids. This guy's got enough junk on this boat. I mean, if he puts the coals to it, it won't just, you don't just get up out of the water. It'll just pull you out of the water and every fish around you for 25 feet. And look at their face while they're going to the lake. Or they're dressed like they're going to church. And I'm thinking, are they doing funerals on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock? Look at them. Man, they look like they got baptized in grapefruit juice. I mean, they got a look on their face like they're dying. Last time I checked, the Bible said, Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. Something's gone wrong with the Christian life. And a little preacher said years ago, I enjoyed my way on my way to hell. I'm going to enjoy my way on my way to heaven. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to enjoy the Christian life. And if it's not working, something's not right. And it's not because you didn't get the bicycle. It's not because you didn't get the tennis shoes. It's not because you didn't like the last youth activity because they didn't have to have your favorite kind of pizza. It's not about that at all. It's about the fact that something's wrong with your Christian life. Now, you need to see it's wrong before you can make it right. How's it going, young person? How's it going? Come on. If your life verse in the Christian life is they that endure the end, the same shall be saved, you got the wrong life verse. Okay, it's simple. But do you have to go to church? Or do you get to go to church? How's it going? Jesus said, children, have you any meat? And they said, no. Honest, sincere, simple. Question number two. Go down to John chapter 21 now, if you would. Drop down there to verse number 15. John 21, verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas. Now look at the question. Lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Do you see that? Excuse me, feed my lambs. Now look at me. Jesus asked the question of Peter twice. Do you love me? Peter's response was, well, of course I love you. And Jesus says, but do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you. And Jesus says, do you love me? And then the Bible says, Peter's a Baptist. He's thick, man. This boy's not getting it. And he says, what's the matter? Peter, look at me. Peter was saying the right words, but he wasn't giving the right answer. But in verse 15, he asked them a question different. All the other two questions, he asked it differently here. He says, lovest thou me more than... The question, the second question tonight is quite simply this. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus more than anything else? God's number one. Yes? Yes? Go on, man. Rattle that BB in there. Go ahead. Like that. Yes? Good. See, the real question isn't, young people, do you love this? Do you love that? The question is this. Do you love Jesus more than anything else? See, when he said, lovest thou me more than these, I was thinking about that one day, and I thought, what is he talking about, these? When you say these, he's got to be talking about something else there. Well, who was there? Well, his compadres, his friends were there. Jesus had prepared them a meal, the Bible said, when they brought it into shore. And there was food there. When they couldn't catch anything, Jesus says, have you any meat? They say, no. He goes, throw your net off the right side of the ship. That right side's very important. The right side's always the side to go to. When things are not going right, you go to the right side. Now you know these fishermen, they're like any fisherman. They would have tried a couple sides on the boat. The front, the back, both sides. They'd have done the famous dipsy doodle underneath the leg, did a woo woo pum, throw that net behind their back. They fished all night long. They were throwing nets till their stinking knuckles were dragging the ground. They tried every side of that boat and caught nothing. But when Jesus said, throw your nets on the right side, okay, one more time, let's give it a shot. All of a sudden, there's silvery movement down in those dark waters, and they start to pull it up, and they go, we know who that is on the shore. They drag those fish into the shore, and they're sitting there having that quiet meal with the Lord. They didn't eat the fish they caught. They ate the fish Jesus prepared. They're sitting there having that meal. Here's the meal. Watch me. They're not fellowshipping, gossiping, talking about each other. The other six that didn't have the guts to quit with them. Well, five. One of them's dead. They're sitting there talking. They can't even look at Jesus. And Jesus turns to one guy and he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Was he pointing to the food? You know what food is, right? Food's a temporary thing. I had something to eat before we get on the airplane. They don't feed you on airplanes anymore. 42 hours on an airplane. They want to give you peanuts now without charging you $14 for a stinking bag of peanuts that came over with Charles Lindbergh. I mean, it's unbelievable. So we got a couple sandwiches, took them on the airplane, ate the sandwiches on the airplane while I was talking and witnessing to the businessman that was sitting next to me. Now, that was somewhere this afternoon. And to be honest with you, to quote my good friend, Immortal Keith Gomez, I am hungry enough right now to eat a donkey and a half a sack of onions. And the truth of the matter is, he didn't say donkey, but anyway, the truth of the matter is, that food just doesn't last long, does it? I ate once. I was sitting in Bible college. They had a doctor they went to the church there who would come and give lectures about eating healthy. Oh, man, he would come and talk about juicing. I thought he was talking about doing steroids. Juicing. And he's giving this great lecture about juicing and elimination. We won't go into that. And we're going, he's talking about all this stuff. And he says, your problem with some of you guys today is you eat the wrong foods. That's why you can't stay awake. No, we couldn't stay awake because we were working 20 hours a day, gone all weekend, and slept 2 hours a day for 4 years. You can't, that's sleep deprivation. And he said, what you need to do, he says, this morning I got up at 4 o'clock and I had me a piece of dry rye toast and a cup of peppermint tea, and I probably won't even eat lunch. And then he said it. He goes, and you know what? The truth of the matter is, I may not eat again. I turned to my friend. I said, okay, I'm out of here on that one because that's ridiculous. You got to be kidding me. He lost his mind. I may not eat. He didn't say today. He said ever. No. That's when a preacher loses his mind, when he says he's not ever going to eat again. The truth is, food is a temporary thing. Jesus is asking a question here. Do you love me more than the temporary things of life? Oh, that guy that you think is so great. And that's a girl now, okay? I'm from California, so we have to explain things in our state. I bet we do have to. That means you're interested in a guy. That means you're a girl. Now, some of you are looking at me funny. Do I need to stop and have something else we have to talk about? That guy you think is just the man, the guy, the one you think you're so desperately in love with. Listen to me. That little punk, you're going to forget about him in 6 months. You're going to have 9 other guys you're going to be interested in the next 6 weeks. And you just think you're going to die because this guy, his person, this new, and you get all infatuated and caught up with that. And tomorrow you won't even know what his name is or care less. You really think life is all around this thing of getting to the next level on some video game. Video games are stinking wicked. You understand that? If they're not vile and disgusting in what they are, then they're vile and disgusting in the fact that they take up your time. Look at me. Some of you right now, you're having a hard time staying awake. I bet if I went home, there ain't no drool on your Xbox because you fell asleep playing video games. Play video games so cotton picking much, you got your thumbs are bigger than your neck. If you can't plug it in, you don't want anything to do with it. You look at a bicycle trying to find out where the extension cord is and where the battery charger is. Because you got all caught up in something temporary. Some of you fellas, you're involved in athletics. You think you're really gonna go far. Let me help you with something. You got about as much chance of becoming a professional athlete as you do running through the jungle in your underwear and not getting bit by a mosquito. But oh my soul, you give yourself to that thing. Like somehow or another, you're God's gift of basketball. Look at me. One of the days you're going to be my age, you're just going to be able to be glad to be standing up. Because you got all caught up in something temporary. Food. Lovest thou me more than these. The food. That temporary stuff in life that you just think has got to be. You can't wait to get you a car. If you just had a car, my, your problems would be solved. No, your problems start. Especially if you get a Ford. Now your problems are really starting, Pat. Well, they don't start, so you don't have to worry about that. But you got troubles, man. You know what you think? You think that car's just going to show up in the driveway and it doesn't have insurance, it doesn't have license, it doesn't have maintenance and upkeep. And try $4-some a gallon for a stinking gallon of gas. I just got back from Caracas, Venezuela. It's 12 cents a gallon. Preacher put 17 gallons of gas in his car and it cost him $1.75. I said, let me cover that for you, preacher. Seriously, no, I want to pay for the gas. You've been driving this around. I'd like to pay $2 for a whole tank of gas. Would you please? You set your goals so shallow and so in such a short fashion that you can reach them by the time you're 17. Then what? Lovest thou me more than these? The food. Or was he talking about the fish? You see, that fish represented their plans for the future, their lives. Lovest thou me more than the your plans. I can't believe, first time I heard it was about 4 or 5 years ago, 70-some percent of Christian young people who grow up in Christian homes and families and go to Christian schools and youth groups, 70-some percent of them today in America, when they graduate from high school, leave church and never return again. Or they wind up in some sloppy agape, let it all hang out, BB spit in church where they just sit around like everybody else with their hands up in the air like they're checking their deodorant, whether it's working or not. And they were raised right. I can't believe that statistic. I can't believe it. I've tried to find it and check it out. I've heard it from many different people, so that makes it true. But wait a minute. Look at me. Do you love him more than your plans? Oh, but Pastor Johnson, wait a minute. I'm not planning on becoming a drunk. I'm not going to be the world's greatest drug dealer. I'm going to make money. There's nothing wrong with making money. No, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with being successful in business. That's A-okay. Just never have found a verse in the Bible that says by the foolishness of finances, he would reach some. And we've got to have people who have good sense with the money God's given them. But you cannot tell me in a nation like we have today, in a world in which we see, you cannot tell me God is not calling out more people to do the work. There's no way, friend. God did not say by the foolishness of dribbling, he'd save some. Well, I go to Bible college, but I want to be a coach. Because you want to be a youth director for the rest of your life. Because you're a teenager. Do you love him? Listen to me. Do you love him more than the fish, the future, your plans for your life? Of course, the other group that's there, these crowd, are his friends. He must have been pointing to these other six guys. How about those guys? James and John are sitting over there. How about them? Do you love me more than your friends, the people that you live and die by what they think about you? What people think about you is not anywhere near as important as what God knows about you. Now, we should live in such a way as to not disappoint people by how we live our lives. But we should live for his pleasure first of all and foremost. It takes a lot of courage for a young person, to step aside from a friendship for the cause of Jesus Christ. Do you love him more than that? Question number three. Drop down a few more verses. Go to verse 22. How's it going? Number two, who do you love? You love Jesus more than anything else? Question number three, verse number 22, and Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, look at this question. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now watch me. Here's what happens. Jesus is bearing down on Peter. Hey, there's six other guys that quit too. But Jesus is bearing down on Peter and he's saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And after a while, Peter does the absolute perfect thing in life. Hey, wait a minute. What about these other six quitters? Huh? What about him? And he points over at the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John. He says, well, he quit too, you know. And what does Jesus say to him? What is that to thee? Here's the question. So what? God, hey, look at me. So what? Now, you're going to think I'm being really insensitive, so let me try real hard and make it work. Look at me. So what? I'm sorry you come from a broken home. I am not insensitive to that. Been there, done that, and bought the T-shirt, okay? My dad ran off on my mother when he was a Baptist preacher at the age of one, left me in my mother's arms at the age of, when I was at the age of one on the front row of a Baptist church and ran off with a woman. Broke my mother's heart. She turned to drink and became a drunkard, married a man who was a drunk and a bartender. Came home every night and beat us. No 8-year-old boy should stand in a hallway with a baseball bat and reach up and unscrew a light bulb in the hallway with a baseball bat standing by a wall heater waiting for a grown man to walk around the corner so he can lay him out with the bat so he doesn't get beat up that night. Spent half my childhood hiding underneath the bed. When I became a teenager, son, look, sit up, son, get your head up. When I became a teenager, truth of the matter is I had a chip on my shoulder, felt like the world owed me a living. Man, my whole life would make a wonderful episode on Dr. Phil. Oh my soul! That boy could work me over. What an amazing thing. Oh, Pastor Johnson, how terrible. Look at me, young people. It came to the age of 16 years of age and I said this to God, so what? What has that got to do with what you're supposed to do? So what? That's what he says. Look at the verse. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? So what? Follow thou me. So what? So what you're black? So what you're Latino? So what you're Indian? My brothers, good to see you guys here. So what? So what you're white? So what if you're white trash? So what if you came from a broken home? So what if you don't know who your mother is? So what if the preachers let you down? So what if a youth director failed you? So what if something awful happened in your life? I'm sorry for it. I am not insensitive to it tonight, but I say unto you, my dear friend, so what? What does that have to do with what you're supposed to do for God? Man, we walk around with our stinking lip hanging out so bad we're picking up carpet fuzz. And everybody's behind us playing the symphony about how sad and sorry our life is. What happened if any man be in Christ? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, you gotta get to the place in your life where you do that. You just say, you know what? That was terrible, isn't it? Young people, look at me now. Look, I'm not making fun of you tonight. Been there? Done that, bought the T-shirt. I used to go to bed at night and lay there in hot tears and fill my ears. And I'd say, is this the way my life is always going to be? Go to bed every night, hear my mother and stepfather in the front room fighting. My mom was a little bitty lady, but she was tough. I seen her knock him out with one shot. Get up the next morning and see if there's any furniture left that wasn't broken. Go to the refrigerator and open the refrigerator door and be 2 6-packs of Hams beer and nothing else, and that was supposed to be for breakfast. When I got to my teenage years, man, I had a chip on my shoulder. I'd fight at the drop of the hat and drop my hat every chance I got. And if anybody ever said, what's the problem, man? I'd tell them my sad, sad, sad story. And you know what they'd say? Man, that's too bad. That's too bad. That's too bad your life was like that. And I'd say, yeah, that's right. That's right, man. And I kept that chip on my shoulder and I continued with that life just like that. Some of you, you don't even have that kind of a past. You got a mom and dad love the fire out of you. You got people around you care about you and you got a chip on your shoulder about your protected life. And I don't even have time. Well, later on, slap yourself for me, would you? are you outside of your ever-loving, cotton-picking minds? I have no patience with that stuff. But I understand it. I don't accept it, but I understand it. We go around, you know, there was like, I don't get to go where everybody goes and do what everybody does. I don't get to be like everybody else. No, you like that knucklehead I saw in the store one day. All gothed out, all in black. Turquoise hair spiked up like the Statue of Liberty. White pancake makeup, black lipstick, black fingernail polish. But I couldn't figure out what it was. I could not figure out if that was a guy or a girl. Could not. Say, well, it's lipstick and fingernail polish, Pastor John. Says a girl. You ain't been to California lately, have you? I'm standing there looking at this person. Standing behind me, lying at the grocery store. And the face with all the piercing in it, you know? Looked like somebody shoved a whole bunch of metal down a shotgun and boom, and just shot him right in the face with it. Had a safety pin about that big in the right through the bottom part of the lip. Not the lip part, but right through this about right here. And while I was standing there, the purr who I was looking at was doing a trombone number. And that was interesting. And without being invading the privacy, I'm still trying to figure out, guy or girl? I don't know. Flip a coin. Oh, neither one. Oh. The kid turns around, looks at me and goes, what? I said, what do you mean, what?
What? What are you looking at? Yo, Adrian, what are you looking at? What?
I said, what do you mean, what am I looking at? It took you hours to get that way. I'm admiring your handiwork, dude. Look at this. I mean, how seriously, how long did it take you to get all that together? Did you know Halloween's one day out of the year, for goodness sakes? Hey, what do you mean, what? Somebody would look at that poor kid and they say, he's just a troubled soul who can't find his inner child. Can't get in touch with his feminine side. I ain't got one of those. Okay, I ain't got no feminine side. But then, of course, look at me. But then, of course, your situation is your excuse. Now, friend, look at me. If you don't stop living on excuses and start getting reasons for what you should be doing and do them, you're going to spend the rest of your life living on your excuses. And you'll wind up getting a divorce. And it won't be your fault either. And you'll wind up marrying some knucklehead, and that won't be your fault either. And you'll wind up throwing your life in the trash can, and that won't be your fault either. Because there's nothing that's your fault, because, hey, what about them? And Jesus said, so what? Follow thou me. There is no reason for us to walk out on Jesus. No. Look at me. No. And if we get to the place where there's no excuses, you just have to do what you have to do. I had a staff member, one of our first staff members we had in our church, I had him set up for a men's breakfast. 8 o'clock Sunday morning, Saturday morning, we're supposed to have men's breakfast. 8 o'clock Saturday morning, I show up, men of the church are there. Church is locked. Nothing's ready. No food, nothing. It just perturbed me a little bit. I lost my salvation 5 times between 8 o'clock and 8:05. He shows up about 25 minutes late with the food. Nothing's set up. Nothing's ready to go. So the whole thing starts about 45 minutes late. And when we get done, he just sort of avoided me throughout the entire breakfast. And I didn't even have to chew my food. I just put it in my mouth and it incinerated. Breakfast is over. I said, BP, need to talk with you. He said, I know, preacher, I know. I said, yeah, we'll talk later. We'll talk later. Because if I do anything now, I might rip your head off and spit in the stump, son. Just we'll talk about it later. Later on that day, we got together. And I said, okay, man, what's going on? He goes, oh, preacher, here's what happened. I said, hold a second. Before you give me the litany of excuses that I'm about to hear, when we get done, here's the answer. It wasn't ready. You didn't do it. And if all I'm going to do is take excuses from you, the next time this happens, I'm just going to get excuses and you're not going to get it done. We all make mistakes, but that wasn't a mistake, friend. That was a bomb. I don't want to hear excuses. You get it done next time. That's what we got to do. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. We cannot live our life on excuses. Because Jesus isn't being unkind by saying, so what? He's trying to show us, so what? Follow the Lord, friend. It is about Him. Yes, isn't He supposed to be number one? Who died for you on the cross? Who dipped His soul into death? Who rose from the grave? Who ascended back to heaven? Who's coming back to get you? Who's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That's what got you in. And guess what? That's what should keep you going. And the rest of it is a bunch of so what junk, friend. Look at me. Some of you are still not getting it. You got that look on your face that says, that preacher doesn't understand. I do understand. That is not the issue. The issue is not, are your excuses better than my excuses? The issue is, how long are we going to try and live on excuses? So what? Look at me. Look at me. I don't care if you got the personality of a boat anchor. And some of you do. Seriously. Let me also say this too. Ugly people are supposed to marry ugly people. But you're not allowed to reproduce. That's the way it is. The truth is, you may think, you know, I could never tell somebody about Christ. I could never do this. I could never do that. I could never be one of those. And just go ahead. Go ahead and excuse yourself for the rest of your life. And Jesus is in heaven saying, so what? If I call you, I'll qualify you and I'll enable you to do what you're supposed to do. Amen. Come on, don't you understand? Most preachers, now not the men who are here, most preachers I know, seriously, they have the personality of a fire hydrant. When you talk to them, it's like you got to write down everything you want to say before they show up because you can't think of anything once you talk to them. I mean, it's but they're men of God. Now, not the men of God that are here. Well, one of them, but we won't mention Clay Reed. The truth is, look here. The truth is, it's not about talent and it's not about abilities. It's about God's enablement in your life. And now you've got no excuses. Hey now, look at me. Paul was a humpback, bug-eyed Jew preacher who stuttered like Mel Tillis. I mean, this guy couldn't get two words out without bleh, 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 bleh. And God used him. Any Navy people here? Navy people. Where's the other ones? Two? Good. Great. I didn't know you got a retarded ministry in your church. Carl Kreitz was a sailor. We reached in the sailor ministry in Great Lakes Navy Base, North Chicago. Carl Kreitz had a horrible speech impediment. So what does that mean? He couldn't understand anything. We led Carl to Christ, and Carl Kreitz got happy. And he just started witnessing to people. And one day we pull a bus up. I met him. First time I ever met Carl. I said, how you doing, pal? What's your name? Carl Kreitz. I go, what country are you from? And why are you wearing an American uniform? I said, what is your name? My name is Colcott. I said, surely that's a town in Arkansas. Now, what is your name? Finally, he had to write it down. I mean, I could not understand what the man was saying. He got saved. He got excited. Carl started bringing people on the bus, sailors on this bus. We pull up one day with workers on the bus, and there's a guy standing on a trash can in front of Burger King preaching. And it's Carl Kreitz. He got 25, 30 men standing around a trash can in a snowstorm, Great Lakes Navy Base, North Chicago, preaching. And this is Carl's message. If you don't get there, you're going to die to go to hell. You're going to try to do it, you're going to change it. And we walked up, and we just sort of stood in the back of the crowd nonchalantly. And the sailors are going, what did he say? Is he selling vacuum? What is he saying? God let it get it, you're gonna get you're gonna die, you're gonna hell, you're gonna get it, you're gonna get day. And they're going, what did he say? Finally, we step up and then we figure it out. Hey, we're pretty smart. We figured out, we step in the car. I said, I think he's talking about salvation and wanting to know Christ as your Savior. Are you saved, pal? Do you know that? Oh, no, I didn't know that. Could I talk to you about that for a moment? Carl could draw a crowd of people going, what's he saying? He was a great crowd drawer. Put him on the street corner. Preach, Carl. People go, what is he saying? And then we just start picking him off. He left there and went off into his first permanent station in an aircraft carrier off Scotland. Writes us back a letter. By the way, he wrote perfectly fine. He wrote us back a letter. You know, teenagers, you don't get that. He didn't write, and we had to figure that out too. All right, never mind. Look, people, look at me. We're going to be here all night if I have to explain everything. All right, you got to stay up with me on this thing. He wrote back. Carl Kreitz was having a Bible study every week under the wing of an aircraft in the belly of that aircraft carrier, having anywhere from 30 to 50 men come to his Bible study. And we're thinking, what kind of Bible study is that? And he's got men down there going, where? What? So what? Got it? So what, friend? Answer the question. So what? What has that got to do with you doing what you're supposed to do? So what? Let's stand our feet, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Everyone standing, please, if you would. Thank you very much. Question number one. So how's it going? How's it going, young person? Would you have to say tonight, you know, Brother Johnson, to be honest with you, my big thing is I have just been troubled about my salvation. Now, friend, please listen tonight. You didn't do anything wrong. It's not like you made a mistake. The only mistake you can make at this point is die and go to hell. That's the only mistake you can make. It's not necessary. You can settle it tonight. Right now. So how's it going? You troubled by a testimony that frankly is not genuine or yours? God's trying to trouble you so you can settle that thing in your life. Believe me, you'll enjoy the Christian life a whole lot better when you get saved. So how's it going? Friend, if your spiritual life is not working, you know, it's very simple to make it work. There's no magic button and no, you know, genie popping out of a lamp thing. If it's not working, it's because we're not working it. It's as simple as that. Get your Bible, read it, spend some time with God, love the Lord. I mean, it's pretty basic. You know this. You know the routine, if I can use the word. But have you just got to the place where you're just, you know, okay, fine. It's not working and you know it's not working. Something's not right. Do you love Jesus more than anything? More than these? And that so what thing, friend, that's big now. It will help you. It will help you. It will help you. So what? Follow thou Jesus. So what? What is it you need to take care of tonight? There are people down here right now who will talk with you and just have a word of prayer with you. Or maybe you just need to come and just pray by yourself tonight. That's fine. But do not pray by yourself tonight if you're not sure about salvation. Do not do that tonight. I want you to talk with somebody. Again, now listen, now you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything bad. You're just not sure, and you got to settle that thing now. Now. Right now, tonight. Father, bless this evening. Holy Spirit of God, move on us. Thank you for the challenge that we need to make you number one. Some of us just need to get that thing right in our lives. Some of us need to answer these questions. Keep it simple, keep it sincere, and just say it. Just do what we ought to do tonight. God, move and work tonight, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The ladies begin to play. The invitation is being played. You yield to the Lord.